comes to pass, penetrating in perfect truth itself in that earth, even in 100,000 myriad calvus. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. I've been talking this week about the scripture of Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva. If you look at many of the situations that this scripture describes, you think about where we most need help in these situations, in a spiritual sense, where we most need help spiritually in these situations. You could say that generally speaking, we need help in keeping the precepts, and more precisely, we need help in keeping true to the true spirit of the precepts. Just at random here, if I read from the scripture, if chased by wicked men, a man should fall upon a mountain. Let him think again of Kantian's power, and no injury will even a single hair of him sustain. If ringed by enemies, a man should be threatened by them, all with their swords in hand. Just let him think on Kantian's great power, compassion then within their hearts will dwell. Imagine yourself in this situation. Suppose these people in these situations ganged up on you and killed you. Would you die with hatred in your heart? Would you die with despair in your heart? There's a story of one of the Buddha's disciples who is a very advanced trainee who was murdered by a group of men. The Buddha explained to his other disciples that this particular disciple had some particularly violent past life karma, and that this was a kind of karmic payback. We never know when some particular karma may come due for any of us in some particularly unpleasant form. Perhaps we might have some kind of miraculous or seemingly miraculous escape from the situation. And taken at the most literal level, that's what this scripture seems to offer. But at the level that matters most, the kind of help we most need at that time is help in keeping true to the true spirit of the precepts. What is the true spirit of the precepts? It is to not look down, to not willfully enter into despair, to not willfully enter into hatred, malice, because these willful acts at the time of our death in particular can have consequences reaching into future lives that are very, very unpleasant. In other words, to put it very simply, it matters a lot less when and how we die with regard to external circumstances than it does how we die with regard to spiritual attitude. I just read a verse here. If ringed by enemies, a man should be threatened by them all with their swords in hand. I had a past life come up in which a person was killed under exactly those circumstances in some kind of yurt-like house, probably a Mongolian or something like that. A man was murdered by three other men with their swords and knives in hand. These things happen. It can happen to any of us at any time. Will that kind of event, if it does happen to us, be the springboard for lifetimes of misery? Or will it be, well, this happened, one accepts it, it could just as well be the springboard into bliss, joyful reunion with the eternal, if it does not plunge one into despair and hatred? Dogen wrote, when the opposites arise, the Buddha mind is lost. Be very careful about going down the worldly route of fair and unfair, perpetrator and victim, kind and unkind, all acceptance is the way of returning to oneness with the unborn. Despair and malice are the way to continue the rolling of the wheel of suffering in the future lives. You could be thinking, well, you know, perhaps a saint could die with compassion in their heart if other people were murdering them, but I couldn't. But that's not true. We all have the Buddha nature. At any particular moment, any of us can manifest our Buddha nature fully. And lots of practice in training in the precepts really is helpful for when we come to the time of big crunch and we really feel the need for help.
Homage to all the Buddhas and all the souls. Homage to all the Buddhas and all the souls.